That's right. It's Monday here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV, and that means it's time for Oh Snap with Brett Goode of the Green Bay Packers, who beat the Detroit Lions 27-20 on Sunday evening. But the outcome was in doubt early in the game. Brett, how did you react after getting down 14-0 early in the first quarter?
We stayed calm, and it was just it was one of those things that we knew that we were able to come back. It wasn't anything to kind of panic about. So we knew we just had to play the game and just keep going, because it's a long game. And I think we proved that last night. Is, you know, you just got to keep pushing the ball down the field and keep being productive.
Well, it was a fantastic comeback effort, and Sunday's win marks the 22nd game in a row the Packers have beat the Lions at home. Well, what is it about the Lions at Lambeau Field that seems to bring out the best in the Packers?
I think it starts with, the crowd. The crowd's always really good, and, we're fortunate enough to be able to have that winning streak against them. It's a tough team. It's a tough division win, and we're glad to have it. And they're always tough every single year, and it's just like them jumping out 14-0. It wasn't easy to get done. So it was definitely nice to get the win and continue the streak.
Yesterday there was a wet and sloppy snow that lasted much of the game. How did the weather impact Sunday's game, and did it affect your grip on the football at all?
It made the ball slick at times, and the field kind of had some spots where the turf would come up a little bit and had a little bit of mud, and it was definitely a wet snow, and it was interesting. You know, I hadn't played in a game like that, but I thought that everybody on the whole team handled all the footballs well. When it starts getting wet like that, you know, ball security is a must for both sides of the ball, including special teams as well. And we were able to take care of the ball, and that's very important.
We're talking to Packers long snapper Brett Goode this morning here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. And Brett, because we're all in your corner here at Railbird Central, we want to know, do they vote for long snappers to the Pro Bowl?
No, they don't do that. I think whoever coaches, they can't take their guy that, you know, the place for their teams. Like last year, the Packers coaching staff coached in it, and they got to pretty much ask another guy around in the NFC to go. They're not able to take your own guy though.
So they are chosen though. They're not voted, but they're chosen. Do I have that correct?
They're chosen by coaching staff.
Very good. Well, if we had a vote, you would get it, and you have our support here at Railbird Central. But, can you just tell us a little bit about the long snapping community? How tight is it, and how well do you know other guys throughout the league?
I know the guys in the division probably the best, just because I see them twice a year. Mm-hmm. And it's the same guys since I've been here. And, it's really nice to just talk to them, and you know, you just kind of communicate just like you would any other person. And I'd say, you know, we're a tight-knit community, just like quarterbacks and, you know, receivers are. And, you just kind of go out there and you wish them luck. And, you know, you want everybody to stay injury-free. You don't want any injuries on any side of the ball, regardless of position. So, you know, you just want everybody to go out there and do your best. And you always want to beat somebody and outperform somebody with them doing their best. It's kind of the way I look at things.
In an effort to get you to know you a little better off the field, Brett, Tuesday, of course, is the only day of the week the players get off. Can you tell us what you'll do tomorrow? Do you try to get away from the game on Tuesdays?
Actually, I do. The only thing, I get a massage. I go to the majority of my grocery shopping, and then I do, I call it Tuesday's laundry and cleanup day. So I clean up because I kind of find that kind of soothing. That, you know, I do the showers and the bathrooms and all the way from vacuuming to laundry. So do that, and while I'm doing all that, I try and play the guitar and just have fun with it.
Very good. Well, next week, of course, the Packers play the Bears, and you'll be able to clinch the NFC North with a win. Can you address the challenge of going into hostile territory against a division opponent with so much on the line?
It's the same as it is every year going to the Bears. You know, there's always something on the line when you're playing the Bears, and for any division game, I mean, it really is. you know, they're all important, and this is another one that we're able to win it. Like you said, you know, we're able to clinch the division. That's huge for us right now, and we just got to go in there and play our best game at this time of year. And so we've got to go back and watch the film and improve on you know, things that we did well and correct the things that we did bad. And just going to Chicago, they're going to be coming off a loss, so they're going to be hungry and ready to go.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And again, congratulations on yesterday's victory. We'll talk to you next week to hopefully talk about the Packers locking up a spot in the playoffs.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Brett Good joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV this morning. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here on a Monday morning, a Victory Monday. How good does that feel? Feels good every Monday when you have a win to talk about rather than a loss. And, you know, the Packers gaining momentum here, two wins in a row, both coming against NFC North opponents. We talked about it a little bit with Brett Good, 22 straight wins over the Lions at home. An amazing streak, longest in NFL history over any one particular team at you know, one particular venue. So just an amazing streak. And, you know, another streak that's happening as well, the Packers have 11, I believe, or is it 12 now? I think it's, is it? I forget that. Maybe somebody can tell me on the live blog. It's either 11 or 12 consecutive victories over NFC North opponents. And so, I mean, just the Packers really asserting their division dominance over the rest of the NFC North, the NFC Norris division. Isn't that what Chris Berman would call it? I kind of like that reference, actually, even though I'm not terribly much of a Chris Berman fan. But anyhow, the Packers doing a great job here and of course, setting up a showdown on this upcoming Sunday with a whole lot at stake. You know, the Packers win the division with a win. So, you know, if they were to lose, there's still hope, but, you know, we're not going to take that mindset, as Mike McCarthy would say. And, we're going to hope for a Packers win, clinch the division, clinch, you know, at least a home game in the playoffs. Still wondering about whether there'll be a bye or not. That's going to play out over these last few weeks of the season. You know, let's talk about a little bit about last night's game. Of course, it starts not the way you want to start a game if you're the Packers. You know, they get behind 14-0, and the Lions, didn't they look unstoppable the first two drives of the game? I mean, everything was going their way, whether it was on the ground or through the air. Matt Stafford was just executing with precision. I think he completed at least 7 out of his 8 first passes, and could have been more than that, better than that even. I just remember looking at that statistic at one point, you know, when they're up 14-0 at least, and he completed 7 out of his first 8. It just, you know, everything was going their way. And the Packers' defense, you know, looked, you know, pretty poor. You know, that they weren't getting a whole lot out of their defensive line early. Of course, they were kind of thin on the defensive line, had to go nickel and dime the whole game. And then, you know, Devon House really didn't have a very good game for the Packers. He gets benched. And, you know, kind of from that point on, all of a sudden, things turned. And of course, the big momentum shift was with the fumble return for a touchdown by rookie defensive lineman Mike Daniels. And, I mean, from there on out, it was all Packers. So, I mean, that was the turning point in the game right there. Matthew Stafford just, you know, he starts off so hot, and from that point on, he didn't have quite as good a game, and just kind of lost hold of the football. Just, you know, it wasn't really a fumble wasn't forced. He just lost the grip on it. Mike Daniels, he doesn't jump on it, doesn't pounce on it. He, you know, he scoops it up, brings it for a touchdown. You know, I think I read the first rookie defensive lineman to recover a fumble for a touchdown since like 1941 or something like that. An absolutely incredibly long time ago. But Mike Daniels has the play of the game, got everybody enthused, got the Packers back into the game after getting down early. And like I said, that just stemmed the tide, and you know everything was going the Packers' way from there on out, whether it was on defense or offense, you name it. It totally turned everything around for the Packers. They just had more confidence from there on out. You know, they didn't waver in the face of adversity, and they really just, you know, stayed the course and knew they could get the job done. And that's the sign of a good team. And, you know, things you saw the Packers do when they won the Super Bowl back in 2010, they get down early. It doesn't matter. There's still, you know, you get down 14-0 in the first quarter, there's still a lot of time left. And of course, you don't want to see them get off to a bad start. And yeah, they look bad for the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers has the fumble that's recovered, and it's kind of disappointing because, you know, we've talked about him here before. Aaron Rodgers goes about a year and a half without a fumble. And now, what has Aaron Rodgers fumbled? Like three out of the past 4 weeks? You know, just really, you know, it's disappointing to see. And you hope it doesn't become a trend. I mean, the Packers look bad early. Nobody's doubting that. But there's also no reason to get worried when it's the first quarter. So the Packers just, you know, stayed calm, did the job, and you know, the defense after about the first quarter comes up big. And Matthew Stafford, of course, from there on out, kind of does the opposite thing. You know, it starts with the fumble, and then later on he throws the interception to Sam Shields, and how about Sam Shields? He gets one of my blue chips for yesterday's game. The job he did is the first time he saw action, I think, since week 6 when the Packers played the Houston Texans in Texas. That's when he hurt his ankle, calf area, whatever. He kind of got leg whipped there, got hit in the leg by another player. And as I read interviews, he thought it was broke at the time, but, you know, comes back, kind of takes longer than they thought it would originally take for it to heal, but finally comes back. We said Devon House kind of a little bit of a rough start to the game there. They bench him, go with Shields, and it turns out to be a great idea. I mean, he's got so much speed, he can just hang with those wide receivers really well. And that's what he does best. And they use Sam Shields on the kickoff team, and he ends up, you know, running down their kick returner, was it Stefan Logan, and just does a great job there, and it's all due to his speed. Sam Shields using his speed to catch up, and that's really his greatest asset, and great to see him coming back after all the time off, and just, you know, getting healthy as the Packers get healthy in general, and this should be the beginning of what happens to the Packers the next few weeks. Sam Shields, you know, Greg Jennings comes back last week. Sam Shields comes back this week, and they're contributing members. And now next week, I think this is going to be the week you're going to see everybody get healthy. Finally, I think this will be the week. You're not going to get everybody back, but I think this week you're going to see Clay Matthews come back. You're going to see Charles Woodson come back. I mean, that's a given that you're going to see Charles Woodson. I mean, they were talking about he practiced in pads this past week. So you're going to see those guys come back. You're going to see the defense get a little better. You know, they need Matthews, something fierce. Hopefully you get C.J. Wilson back. Hopefully you get T.J. Lang back. Hopefully you get Jordy Nelson back. And like I said, I don't know if we're going to get all of them, but I think we're going to see several of them come back, and that could really help the Packers and their defense in general. And like I said, the Packers defense really plays well. Ever since Mike Daniels got that, you know, that fumble there, things kind of changed. Detroit had a lot of success running the ball early in the game there, those first few drives. And from there on out, you know, but Detroit had something like 18 rushing yards the second half. So really, you know, great turnaround there by the Packers defense, led by Sam Shields, led by Mike Daniels. But, you know, all over the board, guys just turning it around from the second quarter onward. It was just a totally different, you know, guys who looked bad the first two drives, you know, defensive line, especially guys like B.J. Raji maybe and Ryan Pickett. But, I mean, those guys turned it around. Brad Jones coming up with a lot of tackles, and just everybody in general playing a whole lot better. On the offensive side of the football, and you know, we addressed the first quarter of the game, Rodgers fumble already, and after that, they just kind of, you know, momentum builds, and they have more and more success. Mason Crosby hits a nice 47-yard field goal, and it finally seems like you're not quite so worried about Mason Crosby anymore, by the way, and that's a good thing. I mean, he makes the 47-yarder, I think it is, which really got the help get the Packers back into the game. And, you know, he misses the 53-yarder, but it just barely misses it. And, you know, considering the conditions, considering the length, that's an excusable miss. You know, it wasn't one of these ones that went way off. So you're finally regaining that confidence. So that's a really good thing for Mason Crosby. But, you know, he helped him get back into the game. And you know, what we got to address here now, here at Railbird Central. And by the way, if you want to chime in here, open up the phone lines, area code 608-403-5255. If you want to call the show, feel free. And what I want to talk about right now is the Packers running game. And of course, I think that was the story of the game, how well they did on offense with the run. And you know, again, it didn't happen early. Nothing was going the Packers' way early. And it especially was evident in the fourth quarter when they went on that long drive in which every play was a run and they got to the end zone. Just really, you don't see that in Green Bay all that often, or at least you haven't under Mike McCarthy. And, you know, just having success on the ground. They're averaging over 5 yards a carry yesterday. In fact, I'll look at the statistics here. I want to see the final stats from how they rushed the ball. Yeah, here we go. So on the whole evening here, the Packers have 25 rushing attempts for 140 yards for a 5.6-yard average. And, you know, had it not been for the end of the game, the Packers last drive, or second to last drive, I guess they just knelt down at the end there. You know, they're just trying to milk the clock, and John Kuhn has a carry for negative 5 yards, but, you know, it was a play that was doomed to begin with just because the Lions knew they were running and they could gear up to stop it. No fault of John Kuhn. Anyway, they lose 5 yards there. Would have been, you know, even better rushing performance had it not been for that. Alex Green, of course, leads the way. He's going to be the workhorse back, has a really good game, 13 carries for 69 yards, 5.3-yard average. Good job by Alex Green. The surprise, though, of course, was this guy named DeJuan Harris. And you know, I know the people listening to this show recognize that name, just because if you're listening to Railbird Central, you're a diehard, right? You follow every roster transaction of the Packers, no matter what. So you probably knew, you've at least heard the guy's name. But you know, Packers fans in general, the casual ones, the ones who are just, you know, listening on Sundays, they probably had never heard of DeJuan Harris before. And all of a sudden, he gets the start. He gets a start. You know, he's out there on the very first play of the game, which was really surprising. It wasn't surprising that he'd play. You kind of heard that. You got the feeling, especially with all the injuries, he might get some playing time. But for him to actually be on the field the first play of the game, you'd think they give that honor to Alex Green, who's been with the Packers for 2 years. But no, they give DeJuan Harris the start, and he ends up having, of course, the touchdown in the fourth quarter, capping off how far was his run there? 14 yards, I believe. And, you know, finishes the night, 7 carries, 31 yards, 4.4-yard average. You saw these things on display. You heard, if you really follow the news coverage of the Packers, you know, you had heard guys talking about how good DeJuan Harris looked in practice. You know, he was signed to the Packers practice squad in October, so he hasn't really even been with the Packers but for 2 months. And they just signed him to the 53-man roster 2 weeks ago, you know, when injuries hit. And he finally gets his first offensive snap of the game on Sunday. And, you know, he displays the quickness. And, he's a little guy, kind of diminutive. He's like 5'7", 5'8". And nothing wrong with that when you're a running back. You just think football players, and sometimes you think big just because in general most football players are big, but you don't always have to be a big guy to be a running back, be a defensive back, things like that. And he's showing it. He's quick, and you like the little change of pace he provides. And, you know, he could be a little bit of a weapon for the Packers going forward. Hard to say how much of an impact he'll have, but definitely a good little debut for DeJuan Harris. And you could tell, like, he wasn't comfortable with the whole offense yet. You could tell they probably only had a very limited number of specific design plays he would run, not all that many. But looking good. Ryan Grant, in his first game back, he only has one carry, but it goes for 12 yards. So, you know, as I predicted, he'll play a spot role this game against the Lions, and now his role get a little bit bigger and bigger every game. But he looks good in his limited playing time. The Packers seem to have a whole stable of running backs that are working well. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers has the longest running touchdown of his career. And that, of course, was one of the highlights of the game, is Aaron Rodgers scores on a 27-yard TD scamper that he scores early in the third quarter and actually gives the Packers the lead from that point onward. So Aaron Rodgers really, getting it done on the ground. And, you know, the aerial game wasn't all that impressive yesterday. You know, the more impressive was what they did on the ground, because, you know, the Packers typically haven't had a whole lot of success there. And but, you know, Randall Cobb has a nice game. He leads the team in receptions, 7 for over 100 yards receiving. So, you know, A-OK by Randall Cobb, and everybody else pitching in a little bit here and there. I got to tell you, the one throw from Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson, I thought that was a work of magic there. It just, Aaron Rodgers threading the needle was such a nice pass play. And, you know, again, considering the weather as well. So all these things contributing, at least, to the Packers' success, even though the aerial game wasn't all that great. So, yeah, our live blog director, Jamie Jorris, pointing out on the live blog how close the stats are. Packers 148 passing yards, 140 rushing yards, almost equal. And amazing that Packers really not having all that many yards total, you know, not even getting 300 total offensive yards, but still coming away with the victory. And it was mostly because of the success they had on defense, you know, getting the turnovers by Mike Daniels and Sam Shields, having success there, actually scoring on the defensive side of the ball, getting a contribution from the special teams and Mason Crosby. So all those things help to, you know, win you a football game. And, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty, but a win's a win. And that's what the Packers, you know, got on Sunday. Other things I wanted to address: the offensive line. Don Barclay getting his first career start at right tackle for the Packers on Sunday. What's interesting is TJ Lang was actually active. He was on the 46-man game day roster on Sunday, but he didn't get the start. It was kind of an emergency situation. The Packers didn't make a roster move because they went in, you know, had TJ Lang been inactive, they would have been down to 6 offensive linemen. They would have had to make a move. And they felt like, well, TJ Lang could really play if he had to, but they didn't want to have to do that unless, you know, the Packers suffered more injuries. And, you know, thank goodness they didn't. But Don Barclay doing a good job again, helping pave the way for that ground game. You know, doing just enough in pass protection for the Packers to have some success there. He's doing better, seems to be getting better all the time, and hopefully will get better going forward. Be interesting to see what they do when TJ Lang comes back. And you have to think that, you know, Lang might be back for the Bears game this upcoming week. And what are they going to do? Are they going to take Don Barkley out of the game entirely? Or will they make that move? We've speculated about, will they move Barkley to left guard and leave TJ Lang at right tackle? Or vice versa, I mean, as well. So all sorts of things the Packers could do. I mean, I think the best thing would put Lang at left guard and leave Barkley out at right tackle. We'll see what happens. And first of all, TJ Lang has to prove he is totally healthy. So that comes first. But again, I mean, again, the possibility here of getting all these guys returning, Lang, Woodson, Matthews, maybe Jordy Nelson. I mean, that would certainly be a boon to the Packers, a benefit, as they get ready to take on the Chicago Bears. And if the Packers win, they wrap up the NFC North. And if they do that, of course, they wrap up at least a playoff spot. We don't know if they'll be playing, getting a bye or anything yet. That's still, you know, that's going to be determined still even beyond next week. But they can at least get, if they win the NFC North and they can do that, they can get a home game in the playoffs at Lambeau Field. So that is on the line next week. And you know, the Bears, they've shown faults. You know, they looked really good early in the season. And, you know, of course the Bears' defense is good. And it's not going to be easy going into Soldier Field and competing against them. And, you know, certainly they, you know, going to be minus Brian Urlacher and whatever, and that doesn't help. And, you know, they certainly in the past few weeks have shown some chinks in the armor and getting beat by the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. And it was really nice to see that as the team that's tied for first place with the Packers, see them lose. The Packers can clinch it here on Sunday, and you know, it'll be a big game. And you know, even if the Pack, I mean, it's a good thing the Packers are now a game up, because even if they lose, they could still win the division over the course of the rest of the season, you know, the last 2 weeks following next week's game. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but it, you know, the Packers are in a good spot right now. They're just in a good spot. But I mean, they're going to be so motivated to win on Sunday, because you just want to go into the postseason with that momentum. They will be feeling so, I mean, they're feeling good about themselves right now. You've got two consecutive wins, first of all. They're two wins against division opponents on top of that. You know, make it three in a row, and three in a row against division opponents if they win next week. You know, after they have one tough one on the road, then they come home for the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans aren't all that good. You could easily see the Packers winning that game. So just that momentum builds and confidence builds. And as you've seen in the NFL, that is so important, not just any sport. Watch baseball and those teams that get hot at the end of the year and how important that is. And, you know, I would certainly hate to see the Packers lose again before the end of the season. But, you know, if they could win out, carry that momentum into the playoffs, you know, whether it's a bye or not, you know, the Packers should at least be getting a home game. It might be in the wild card round. But if not, you know, hopefully if you see the 49ers lose once, Packers can get a bye, get a little bit of a rest, a bye week there. Just keep that momentum going and hopefully take it right into the Super Bowl. Let's take it one step at a time here first. But of course, that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal that the Packers, you know, can achieve. Everything's on track here, as Mike McCarthy would say. Everything's still in front of them, and all their goals are still attainable, still achievable. And that's what the Packers did yesterday, as they did defeat the Detroit Lions, keep everything on track. And continuing the Detroit dominance, 22 in a row, 21 in a row in the regular season, if I'm correct, 22 in a row if you include the playoffs. And not all Lambeau Field. I think this actually dates back to the time at you know, Milwaukee County Stadium at 2, and they would play in Milwaukee. That's how old the streak is, that it's included games in Milwaukee, as they've beaten the Detroit Lions on their on the Packers' home field, no matter where home field may be. So anyhow, it's past 9 o'clock here. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on a Monday at Railbird Central. We will be back on Wednesday once again. As usual, our regular weekly Wednesday interview with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. So make sure to join us then. And we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. Make sure to check back all week long for your Packers news needs at Cheesehead TV. Thanks for everybody for joining us. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. We'll be right back.